Welcome to the Broadway Show Uncut. I'm so glad you're here. So we have a couple of really great interviews on this episode of the podcast. Aladdin, first of all, celebrating a decade on Broadway, 10 years and still going strong at the New Amsterdam Theater. Coming up in just a few minutes, I'm going to be talking to Broadway's Princess Jasmine, Sonia Balsara. But first, everyone knows Wayne Brady is one of the most talented people on the planet. We're talking improv, comedy, singing, and of course his acting. Well, now he's about to be on Broadway for the third time. Wayne Brady is the Wiz in the long-awaited revival of the musical.
Mr. Brady.
Yes, sir.
Good to see you out in L.A.
It's good to see you, too.
In the heart of L.A., like, that's the 101. I see the Griffith Observatory up there. Mm-hmm. This is, like, the heart of L.A.
This is a hub. It's Hollywood. It's where people come to make dreams happen, and then when those dreams don't happen, they move right back to Kansas.
Kansas. Very intentional state you chose there.
Very specific.
You're in Wizard of Oz land.
Oh, man.
L. Frank Baum. You're right in it.
Source material.
I mean, who would have thought that right here is where the hottest show of the spring is happening?
Who knew?
On Broadway.
Right up the street from here, the Pantages, and it feels amazing.
Yeah?
It is... It's a different feeling because I haven't been a part of a production
right. At
the nascent stage.
Yeah.
So from going from the workshop to then jumping on a fast moving train in San Francisco, now we're in LA, next stop Broadway, it's a completely different experience.
This is a really cool role. I was actually thinking about who I've seen do this role.
It's an
interesting batch of people. I saw André de Shields, the legend.
You saw André de Shields?
I saw the revival in the 90s. He and Stephanie Mills both did it at the Beacon Theater.
I didn't
And my friend
know
Al
that.
Said, you need to see them do it. And he said, you need to see what happens when she sings Home. And people were literally standing on their seats. And then, of course, Richard Pryor, I grew up with
right in the movie, like me.
Yes, yeah. The film. The film was very important to me. I saw David Alan Greer do it. Out
right.
in California.
At La Jolla.
La Jolla, yeah. And I saw Queen Latifah do it on TV. And of course, I saw Alan Mingo Jr. do
it
on the tour before LA.
Okay, yes.
And I saw Mr. Brady Baby do it last night.
Come on.
It's a good, interesting batch of people.
And the thing I think that all those people have in common is the Wiz has to have a certain thing to them. The best way to portray a role where you're a showman is to
show, man.
Because at a certain point, depending on the piece, like this, you have to show that darkness that they have because that's what makes it interesting. And in the production, what does the Wiz want to do really on a surface level? It's almost criminal, right? This teenager comes along with her magical teenager friends. I'm not gonna go kill that witch. You guys go kill her. If you do that, I'll give you everything you want. I just lied to her face. I just lied to this girl's face with a smile. I enlisted their aid. Mm-hmm. When it happens, I'm packing my stuff and getting ready to leave. Then I yell at them and give them the life lesson of, look, sorry, that's what it is.
Yep.
I could have never earned that at the second scene if the first scene didn't have this, hey, baby, let me sing for you. Let me make you feel good.
You've done two big roles on Broadway. You were Billy Flynn 20 years ago, by the way, exactly this year in Chicago. And then you were Lola, Land of Lola and Kinky Boots. I feel like the Wiz is kind of in the middle there a little bit. Little elements of showbiz and Shim Sham.
Showbiz and Shim Sham, but then you can bring a grit. But I feel that my strength as an actor, which knowing yourself is good, like playing Burr in Hamilton.
Yeah.
My aim even in Hamilton was you were going to love me. You were going to love Burr. Because you're gonna get him.
Mm-hmm.
He's friendly. He's like this. Hey, man, look, I'm the guy that you can have a beer with. So taking the energy that the audience feels that they like you and they gravitate towards you and you're bright and da-da-da, that makes it easy to then go, but I'm a sorry. But you still like me.
Yeah.
And maybe I've got a leg up because a lot of the audience knows me and they're expecting something, which I love that they're expecting, so you can dig a little bit. Oh, yeah, this whole thing, and cut right to the chase. Kids, flim flam, flim flam, flim flam. Kill her, bye, boop. Next scene, you kill her. Great, da-da-da-da, packing stuff up. No, you won't go. Here's a song about leaving. Bloop. And that is the coolest challenge in this role.
I think what's beautiful about The Wiz is that you go in knowing what it is, right? You know the template of the story. And I feel like they really took the story behind the plot and looking at Dorothy as what is Dorothy actually going through? And how is The Wiz representing, you know, what you face in the world. I mean, I felt all of those metaphors really, like, kind of deeply watching it.
Shelley had a very clear vision going into this.
Yeah.
And that's what, besides me wanting to be a part of a true Black history moment.
Yeah.
Like this moment when this show hits Broadway, it's a moment.
Been waiting a long time.
Been waiting, come on. So how could I not want to be a part of it?
Yeah.
So she didn't have to pitch me hard. As soon as I heard the news about The Wiz, of course, everybody and their mama got on the phone and is calling their agents.
Yes.
Luckily, my call was one that was like, hey, I really want to do The Wiz. Oh, well, Shelley wants you to do The Wiz. Oh, well, great. Man, I guess I should start, you know, I could get flexible again and stretch out. I can do Scarecrow, but you know, my knees, kinky boots kind of hurt my feet, my knees. The Lion, perfect. I could do that, I don't mind, but no, you know what I'm really thinking of? Oh, the Tin Man. No. I'm thinking you're The Wiz. Oh, The Wiz. And when you're younger, you think of The Wiz as the old man part, right?
Yeah.
Like you think of The Wiz as, oh, that's the very esteemed older actor that
right.
that has trotted out to accept that role.
Right.
And like, I don't want to be that guy. Am I that guy right now? I play video games. I'm not old. But in listening to Shelley's vision for
yeah.
it, I went, I get it. And thank you. I know why you want me now.
Yeah.
To be able to do that thing, to be able to be without being creepy, because I think it's a color that could creep, that when I'm trying to talk to them, whatnot, more like an uncle, her cool uncle, yeah. who's like, hey, you know,
yeah.
it could be cool if you do this, and I'll help you. How great, right?
And she wanted to make Dorothy's friends her peers, and they're normally the uncles,
yes.
right?
Yes.
And you're talking about old men in roles. Did you forget about Nipsey Russell as the Tin Man?
But when you're younger, right, everybody's old. So when I saw that as a kid, I don't even know how old Nipsey was.
Right.
So to me, he's like, oh, man, they're yeah. all old. Those are old folks.
So that movie was huge for you?
Paul, it's definitely in the bedrock, the foundation
yeah.
of I'll say Lil Wayne knowing he wants to be a musical theater performer, because I grew up on musicals
mm-hmm.
and that's part of the story of the one man show that'll be coming to Broadway soon.
Can't wait.
I'm telling you, it's gonna be bad.
All right.
But having a very specific upbringing, as my folks are from the U.S. Virgin Islands, so I grew up with an island upbringing. And then my mother, meanwhile, is from Columbus, Georgia, southern. And my grandmother raising me on a diet of PBS. So I watched Seven Brides for Seven Brothers, Oklahoma, Singing in the Rain, but then stuff like Black Carmen and mm-hmm. and all these amazing musicals. But still, I'd never really seen a whole cast of faces that look like me
right.
or singing with joy. Because even in the Black Carmen,
right.
it's Carmen, it's a trap.
Yeah.
It's not a feel good show.
Yeah.
It's, oh, this is, look at the fashion and
yeah.
they're singing, not singing, they're singing. And what is this? I'd never seen anything like that. And at that point, I was like, maybe one day, maybe I could be on TV like Sammy Davis Jr. or Sidney Poitier. I don't know how I would do that because I don't know where New York is. I don't know how to get to New York. I don't know how somebody gets on that screen or on stage, but I'm gonna try. But now the palette had been broadened to maybe I can be like those guys.
Mm.
Maybe I could do something like that because that exists.
Yeah.
And joyfully, that exists. It wasn't roots.
Yeah.
It wasn't something bringing Black trauma to life, or it wasn't a drug dealer, it wasn't all these different things. It was taking a beloved story by Mr. Baum that had a universal appeal and then going, hey, here's something for you.
Mm-hmm.
And that touched me like nothing else. That I really feel that's one of the things that got me started.
And you did a bunch of theater when you were a kid. Can you tell me some of the stuff you did when you were like a teenager?
Oh yeah, my first play in high school when I got the bug was a show called Dark of the Moon. I guess it was an off-Broadway play. I was an ROTC cadet. I thought I was gonna go into the military, but I was waiting for this moment. And I got in the play, and that changed my life. And my first role was Uncle Smelly Q Jed. And I don't even know what lines I said that made the audience laugh. But when you get that first laugh for just doing what you're doing, I went, oh, this is cool.
Yeah.
was like, oh, so I learned my lines. I put on this costume. People liked it. I guess I'm an actor. I'm going to go audition for something now. And Orlando at that time was a wonderful place to audition because there were always things going on. And I auditioned for a production of A Raisin in the Sun. Mm. And I was cast as George Murchison, the college kid with the white shoes. And that was my first. And it was a community theater slash they would pay the equity members. But I got in and I actually, so that was my first paid production. Mm-hmm. And then in Orlando from there, I did Richie and Chorus Line.
Wow. And shit, Richie.
Come on. Shit, Richie. And I challenge some when I look into this camp, I challenge any of you Broadway fans, if you could find someone who has done Richie and been worse than me. I was a horrible Richie. Why'd
you
cast
me? So it was actually
me?
Shit, Richie.
Shit, Richie. What are you trying to do? Shit, Richie. Now, I sang the crap out of it, mind you, and I acted it. But at the Mark II Dinner Theater, now don't get me twisted because you've seen me, I can dance, and depending on the genre, I am a dancer. Mm-hmm. I'm not trained as much, but I do my thing. Mm-hmm. But Richie is a dancer, ballet, jazz, bop, moz, kicks, turns, but he should probably be the best dancer on stage, especially following in the footsteps of the great Greg Burge. If you've seen the movie, he's that guy. I mean, that is a dancer. And then me. So it was very funny watching me do that, even the intro scenes where you're supposed to go balance, balance, jump, and you're supposed to jump into the choreographer's arms.
Yeah.
I was bigger than he was. I retained choreography wonderfully. So I got it. So it was like, shit, Richie, but I did my whole dance. I even got a clip of, I can do all the choreography.
Okay.
But there's a difference between I can do the choreography between you do the double, 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 the attitude. I know what it is.
Yeah.
It doesn't look like that.
The difference between I can do that and I should be doing that.
Right. Or, are you doing that? Mama said, are you doing that? Yeah. So needless to say, I challenge you, America. Find me a Richie that sucks more. It's on you.
It's been really fun for me to realize that you're such a theater person. Not only have you done the roles on Broadway, but you did Rent out here. I saw you do Mary Louie Roll Along out here. You were actually a great Charlie.
Thank you.
Yeah, you were fantastic. But I just love how you just seem to just really love musical theater.
Well, because I don't just love it. See, that's the thing. And then when someone, you know, I'll call them a civilian, watches the show, like, you should do more acting. No, baby, I don't do acting. I'm an actor.
Uh-huh.
I am a theater actor who got lucky and went the other way for TV to happen. I just wanted to use TV to be able to pay my rent and to get on stage because for my money, no one is more talented than the people on Broadway.
There's a really big talented group of people a couple blocks from here in The Wiz. I'm gonna walk you over to the theater.
Let's go.
You got a show to do.
Come on.
I got a show to do.
Yes.
And now here's a look at my conversation with Sonia. All right, well, let's just jump in and talk about your long love affair with Princess Jasmine.
Oh, yeah. I love her. She's a part of me. And I think when you grow up, I'm a mixed race kid. I'm half Indian, half white. And, you know, you look for role models as a kid. And she was always one of them. You know, she's so many things. You see yourself visually represented, but also she's tough and smart and courageous, and she goes after what she believes in despite what everyone says around her. So I think she's an awesome role model for kids, and I love to be able to do that in a reimagined Broadway version of that every day.
Does it still feel emotional to play the role each night?
Yeah, there's always moments. You know, I've done it like almost 500 times now. Crazy.
It's in perspective.
Yeah, but like, you know, I think that you relax into it after a while, and so there's moments that like surprise me. And I hear a phrase in a new way, or like I'm watching other people and noticing something for the first time in that moment. And I think that makes me emotional, totally.
And what's remarkable is being in the show now as an adult, but you've played this role before, right?
Yeah.
What's the difference between those two? I feel like there's a little difference.
I mean, production value might be a little different.
Aside from that.
No, I actually, it was funny, a friend of mine who I hadn't talked to in years sent me clips from that production. I played Jasmine and Aladdin Jr. when I was 12. And it's funny because there's parts of it that I'm like, I actually recognize myself in that little kid with braces. And we obviously didn't have like a real flying carpet and all that stuff. But yeah, it's like, it's the same heart and like the little kid in me I bring on stage with me every day too.
But that's what the magic is, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And when you're a kid, you can imagine the flying carpet, so it works out okay.
Totally. Totally. Your imagination is there.
What did your family think when you got this role a year ago?
I think that like the honor and the pride they felt was the most emotional part of the journey for me. And, you know, they've like seen me be an actor auditioning for years, and they've known I've wanted this my whole life. So I think to be there on my Broadway debut night, and I come out on a cart in my first scene and I can see the audience, and I immediately spotted my parents, even though they were wearing masks. And I was like, okay, I can't look there for the rest of the night because I could just see them like crying. And yeah, it's beautiful.
I'm sure it's really beautiful for them too, which is amazing to walk into. I mean, you know, it's so many people's dream to walk into a New York City theater, Broadway theater, and see your name on the on the front of it and your face on the front of it. And that really is a dream. And Aladdin is such a staple now on Broadway, which is pretty amazing. How does the cast feel, and how does that look celebrating that?
I think we feel really lucky because, I mean, you look at other Broadway shows and we're just so lucky to have lasted. I mean, 10 years is a huge milestone for Broadway. I mean, there aren't that many shows that hit 10 years. So then to be a part of that, and to know that we have a future beyond this too, and it brings us together. And I think every day we just count our lucky stars for sure.
Now, I know you do so many shows a week to get up to 500. What do you do outside of it? Do you have a routine outside of it, or something you do to enjoy yourself, relax, find balance?
Yeah, I go to the gym. That's more, it's like a mental game more than anything else. I have kittens, I spend time with them. But actually this year, a resolution I have for myself. Well, I'm not even really that big on resolutions, but I want to volunteer once a month. So January is officially over, and I did work at the Bowery Mission this month, which was really great. Working with people who don't have access to a good meal every day, and they do awesome stuff there too. They do like art therapy there, and it was great to be there and learn more about what they do. Yeah, because I feel like even though I get to perform for a big audience every single night, what we do is insular, and our community is, you know, it's in many ways, as much as it's for everyone, it can be very ego-driven, and I think it's good to get outside of my own head and outside of my own life and think about the things that really matter to me outside of being a performer.
Where does that come from, your parents?
I mean, a little bit. I mean, my parents are like activists in the world, I would say. My dad works in like the climate change field. My mom's a singer actually, and does a lot of work with kids. But it's always been something that I've just been drawn to as a kid. Like I would find causes that I cared about and like just get like immerse myself in them as a kid. And in college actually, I found myself in a low place and I had this epiphany that I just needed to give back and stop thinking about myself so much. And I went to the Philippines and I did this disaster relief program where we like restructured and rebuilt community centers and built homes there. And it was like the best thing I've ever done in my life. So if I can go back to that at least once a month, it's good for me, it's good for the world. And hopefully I encourage other people to do the same.
I love that.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Wonderful. And that's going to do it for this week's episode of The Pod, but be sure to check out The Broadway Show on television. You can check your local listings at thebroadwayshow.com. Until next time, I'm Tamsin Fidel, and this is The Broadway Show Uncut.